Hi, this is Mish Hancock, and you are listening to Mishmash, a place where I get to talk to the weird, wacky, wonderful people of this world, people I adore and want to know more about. Today, my guest is Dean Barnali Gupta. She is the Edward Jones Dean and Professor of Economics at the Richard A. Chaffetz School of Business at St. Louis University. Also a good buddy of mine that I get to hang out with when we do our Be Heard conferences. Hello.
Hi, Mish. Wonderful to be here.
I know. It's so much fun to get to see you and really, really get to talk to you. I mean, we get to talk at the conferences, but that's such a busy thing.
That's busy and hopefully getting busier every year.
Oh, well, it's good. It should. It's an amazing conference. And you guys have the most amazing MC. No, the most amazing speakers there. I mean, the speakers are completely worth it.
The community has so many incredible people.
Mm-hmm.
And the conference is one venue where we get to bring together practitioners and researchers and students under the aegis of the Chaffetz School's Mission Meets the Market.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I love it. And you, as a dean, you are just making things happen over there. I got to have a conversation with you about what are you doing? What are the things that you are doing that are just bringing such success to the students there? And let's talk about that.
That's an interesting question. So as you know, Mish, I started my deanship at the height of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And the community really didn't get to see me for the first 6 months on the job. So this was spring of 2021. We wanted to make sure that our students that wanted to be in person could continue their classes in person.
Right.
And one key to that success at the university was if you didn't need to be there, you weren't allowed to be there. So we were very busy, but we were not in person. We meaning the administration.
Right.
During that period, however, Zoom was used 24/7.
Zoom was having happy dances during that time.
Zoom was killing it. And what I spent my time doing, most of my time doing, was getting to know people and mm-hmm. for people to get to know me. Is really important because you know this, you know, leadership counts.
Yes.
Role models matter.
Yes.
And what I found was that this is a community that is dedicated to service. Our students come to the university and to the Chaffetz School to earn degrees in business, you name it, we have it, but they come here for a little bit more. And the same is true of our faculty and staff.
Mm-hmm.
They are here because they are very committed to the mission of service for and with others.
And you know, I mean, I know service leadership is a big thing at SLU as well. And it for me, I mean, as a SLU grad, I don't think I really appreciated that as much as I do now. As I get older, that whole idea of the service leadership is just...
That warms my heart to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the current generation of students have accelerated that understanding.
Yes, I think so.
In their lives, I know more than my generation. Like I came to it much later.
Yeah, right.
Right?
The whole concept of it, I don't know that I mean, I guess it's one of those things where I didn't have a word for it, like a thought of it. But then when someone brought it to my attention, I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that is, how can you possibly lead people if you're not serving them?
That's right. And that is the secret sauce.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is the secret sauce. And when every individual in the community believes in it, buys into it, practices it in our courses, in our experiential learning, in our service orgs, and, you know, it's part of our career education training and our professional development, that's it right there. And that, I think, is what is really elevating our school.
Now, where were you before SLU?
So I spent over 27 years at the Farmer School of Business at Miami University.
Okay. All right. So then, really, I didn't know that. And so you were there that long, and then you show up in St. Louis. We're a little bit different.
A little bit different, and in some ways, not so very different. So both Cincinnati and St. Louis are river towns.
True.
Right?
Yeah, true.
Midwest river towns. There's a lot in common there. But what is different are the two universities.
Okay.
So one is a suburban, rural, you know, bucolic college town.
Uh-huh.
It takes an hour and a half from the interstate to get there.
Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
And it's beautiful, but different.
Right.
And what drew me to SLU was we are Midtown.
In the heart of it all, right?
In the heart of it all.
Yeah.
That's what drew me here.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it is. I mean, it is interesting that there's this university and right down the street is Fox Theater and Powell Symphony Hall and all of this great culture just all right around the university.
Culture, Cortex Innovation Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's all happening right there. Health systems, big corporations, startups, everything in between. Our students don't have to go away for the summer. They do, to do internships. They can also do internships during the year.
Exactly, yeah.
We bring in amazing people, bringing people like you to, you know, MC our conference, and you're right here.
I know. It's just right down the street for me. I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it. The other thing that I would love you to talk about is, I mean, you are, in fact, I just had Rhoda Banks on before you, so you know her.
I do.
But we kept using the word intentionality, and you are very intentional about how you approach what you're doing at SLU.
That's right. So we talked a little bit about this a few minutes ago. What matters when an 18-year-old or a graduate student, for that matter, coming back to school after years in the workplace or continuing grad school post-undergrad, today's generation is very intentional. They know what they want, kind of, and they know what they don't.
Okay.
And you've got to listen very, very carefully and not assume that you know best. So the one thing that I've learned through all my years in academia, which is, you know, 30 plus years in academia, is we have to surround us with ourselves, we leaders, with diverse thinkers.
Yes.
Right? That cuts through generations, that cuts through first gen students, that cuts through people who look, feel, think, see very differently from you. And that's very intentional on my part to do that. I'm an economist. I want to surround myself with non-economists, with the creative, the artist, the entrepreneur, mm-hmm. the management professor, you name it. That's who I want to also listen to very, very carefully. And when you do that, you just end up making better decisions.
And, you know, it is interesting to me because I think that's one of the difficulties that we see is when people are not accepting of the new generation and that any generation coming in is here to teach you as well. Yes, you can teach them, but they also come in with knowledge that you need. And being able to talk to all those different generations, that is a skill set that we could all use a little bit more of. You know, because I hear the people that complain about the Gen Z kids and, you know, this and that. And it's like, well, gone are the days where say as I do, kid, shut your mouth, keep your head down and just do your work, earn your keep kind of thing. I mean, these kids, and I think of this with my daughter who's Gen Z, if you don't think those kids have paid some dues by the time they show up at your workplace, you're very wrong. These kids have been brought up in a tough world, right? And you know, they've been brought up post 9/11, and now they've got this, they were going to school when school shootings became a normal, felt normal, like
a, right.
it's a real
That's
thing
right.
that could happen here. They had to deal with COVID.
That's right.
Missing out on proms. And these kids are dealing with things that we never had to deal with.
And they've shown resiliency.
Yes.
they have captured and conquered and risen above. And I think it's real lazy on our part to say, if we make that mistake,
right.
I think it's really lazy. It's an easy approach to say, I know best. What we have that they don't is some experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's fair, right?
Right.
But at the same time, they have had experiences growing up that we've never had.
That we can't even fathom.
And to dismiss that, I think, is a huge, huge mistake. And workplaces have realized that. Workplaces have realized that. Frankly, you know, American universities, American college campuses have always been the centers of innovation.
Right.
Globally.
Right.
And the way we do that is by leveraging our biggest asset, which is our students and those incredible minds. That's what excites me about spending my entire career on
a
college campus.
I love learning from the other generations. I mean, right now I'm working at a senior center. And so I'm learning so much about the people that came before me. Yeah. I mean, of course, my only experience has been like my grandparents and my family. But now just listening to what was it like when you were a kid? What did you do? What do you think about what's happening now? It's so interesting to just that huge experience of all these different people of all different ages. It's fascinating.
That's right. And this is why college campuses and, you know, coming back full circle to academic leadership is more pivotal now than ever before.
So what are the challenges right now for the university environment? What are some challenges that you are all addressing?
So I nobody ever says we are past COVID. COVID.
Because we really aren't.
We really aren't.
We still haven't quite figured out. What happened? Yeah,
we're so much better than we were 3 years ago when we had no idea.
Right.
But if you think about where industry is right now, you know, the words that come to my mind are AI.
Yes.
And how do we prepare our students for careers that may not exist? That in this incoming class of fall 23, when they mm-hmm. graduate, will the careers that they expect to have even exist 4 years from
right.
now?
Right, or how very different will that career
right.
look?
Correct. And that is, I think, right now on college campuses, our biggest challenge and our biggest opportunity.
Exactly.
How do we prepare these students to be those lifelong learners?
Mm-hmm.
How do we, in the experiences that they have in the time that they spend with us, be prepared to deal with what we don't know they're going to face when they graduate?
It's all happening so fast. I mean, I feel like ChatGPT showed up and everybody just started using it. I mean, correct. I know I did.
Of
I was
course.
Like, this is fabulous. And yes, of course, you're going to see the people that are going to use it for things we would prefer them not to use it for. That's just part of, unfortunately, our society. But it's an amazing tool.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps me break through any kind of writer's block. It helps me to see things that I may not have seen before. I mean, I can use it for almost anything. It
right.
has so, there's just such a diverse, like, you think, oh, I'm just going to use it for this. Well, then you find out about a person that said, oh, well, I just took everything that I have in my freezer and plugged it into ChatGPT and said, please make up my menus for the week. And you're like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you have fun with it, but also, and this comes back to listening. Encouraging your students to have a classroom or a lab be a safe space
yeah.
to experiment
right.
and to learn
right.
and to fail. And I think fail fast, fail furious, fail forward, right? And so when they go out in the workplace, they are much better informed mm-hmm. with responsible use of new technology.
Right. And ready to adapt.
Ready to adapt, ready to be flexible.
Being adaptable yep. is a big thing these days with all the changes.
Absolutely. And AI has been around for a while.
Right.
AI has been in our lives, right? We just haven't seen it. It hasn't been front-facing to the extent
right.
that it is right now.
Right. Yes, that's true.
right?
Yeah, it's right there in front of us.
It's right there, and it's incumbent on us, and in academia particularly, this is an industry that I know, so I'm going to speak to it, to make sure that our students are prepared. And flexibility, as you said, Mish, is a huge part of it.
Yes. Yes. I mean, changes have always happened over my lifetime, but I feel like the change is just every year it gets faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, you know? And it's the young kids that can help you keep up. I mean, I will ask my daughter, what are you doing with this? What does this mean? I don't understand this, you know? I mean, I want to know. And I tell her all the time, if you ever feel like mom's getting behind, get me back up with the times. Don't let me get behind. See the parts that I'm not seeing. I'm asking you to help me with that. Because I don't want to feel like, I don't want to be that person like, oh, she's so clueless. She just doesn't get what's going on these days. I don't want to be that.
I know. And my daughters are the same way. I tell my younger one, like, how do you do this? Teach me how to do that. And they are so quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the hope, right? That's the future. That always excites me.
Yeah. It's so fun to watch what they're learning and doing. And so tell us what's on the horizon for the Chaffetz School of Business? What's happening there?
Oh, well, so this fall, and this is a big deal, we are launching a revised part-time MBA program.
Oh.
And what has changed is the structure. Well, the fundamental change is the change structure of the program. So we now have a stackable certificate program. So a student, say an undergraduate business major, has graduated, I'm going to make up a number, 5 years ago, has been working, 5, 7, 10, the number doesn't matter, has been working in a space and speak about flexibility and adaptability, needs to learn some other skills, wants to come back to school. It's not sure they want to commit to a full degree.
Right.
They want to, let's say, learn some financial modeling.
Okay.
So we have a certificate, 3 courses, 9 credit hours in financial modeling.
Oh, cool.
And they can come in, they can register for the certificate only, take the courses, earn the certificate. They have that to show. They learn new skills, apply it. And, you know, a few years down the road, they say, well, that was really cool. Now I want to learn some digital marketing. Well, guess what? You can now stack with that certificate another 9 credit hours of a digital marketing and branding
awesome.
Sequence, right? And with the stackable certificate program, you do it at your own pace. It's accessible because it's less expensive. You're not committing to a full degree.
Exactly. Right? You've got time for it if you've got a full-time job and what have you.
Family, right?
Right.
You commit with work and family. It's flexible, it's accessible, and you do it at your own pace.
And so eventually, all these certificates could add up to...
to a degree.
Yeah.
That's how we've designed it.
Oh, what? That's brilliant.
So that's launching this fall, and we are super excited about it.
You should be. That's going to open up so many doors for people.
That's right. So, you know, we talked about being in the community. We are very mindful of our community, and we want to make sure that we serve those who we are surrounded by.
Right. You're taking away the blocks for people that, you know, they may be like, I don't have time for that. You just took away all the blocks for them.
That's right. The other thing I want to talk about is we launched it this year. So it's not new for next year, but it's relatively new. So I feel like we can talk about it. This is our one-year MBA program. That's a cohort-based program. It's 11 months. This is for students who don't have a lot of work experience necessarily. Fresh undergrads from any major.
Gotcha.
Right? So they come to the business school, and we had already an experiential learning one semester, a data analytics practicum.
Okay.
But we realized that wasn't enough. 15 weeks, by the time you get to learn the, you know, the what of the company, the semester is almost done.
Yeah.
So we heard from our students, we listened to them, and we heard from our corporate partners, and we expanded that to a 9-month experience.
Very cool.
So the students can really take a deep dive. We also, so we have multiple partners we work with, including a nonprofit. Again, mission meets the market.
Yep, exactly.
The students can choose and our partners can choose and teams are formed and they spend an entire 9 months really taking a deep dive into the industry, learning the skill sets, learning the tools, and then presenting in front of C-suite, nonprofit CEOs, you name it. So
how cool. That's such great preparation.
It's amazing preparation and we make sure it's geared to the level of preparation of the student that's coming in to the program. So for the one-year MBA, it's a different experience than it is for the part-time MBA.
Wow. You are making amazing changes over there. I love it.
We
you
say,
and your team. I know.
We
you
say our whole, students are our why.
I like it. That, yes, exactly. That's exactly your why.
Right? So those are two cool projects that have been successfully completed that we are very, very excited about.
I'm excited about this. I think it's amazing. I mean, it's so good to know about too, because I'm a big believer in taking away blocks.
Yes.
You know, when people are like, but nobody wants to know. I'm like, well, what are the blocks to them? Why aren't they showing up for you? Right. There's blocks. You have to take away the blocks. And then once you get those out of the way, then you've opened up the door for people to walk through.
That's right.
But you got to get rid of the blocks.
That's right. And you said it, Mish, right? What are the options? So here, we identify a problem. Why is this a problem?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on here, right? At the undergrad level, what every university thinks about is all the effort that goes into recruiting students. That's huge enterprise.
A lot, yeah.
Right? We start approaching students from the minute they enter high school.
So, yeah. It's almost a little overwhelming for students. Like their freshman year in high school. It's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, what?
Right.
I just got to high school.
I barely figured out what my high school locker is, mm-hmm. right? So it's a process. But then once they arrive after this whole discernment process on a college campus, how do we make sure that they have the best experience, that
right.
we retain them, that they realize this is a community?
Yeah.
So we, this year that just concluded, our academic year, as you know, the academic calendar is slightly different from the normal calendar.
Right, right, right.
We run from August to May mm-hmm. Academic calendar. So the class, the freshman class that entered the fall of 22, we realized that they only had one required business course their entire freshman experience. Now, we want them to have the full SLU experience.
Right.
One that, you know, the university launched a new core. That's terrific. But how do we build that community of business undergrad students?
Right.
They're 18. This is a big campus. There's a sense of where do I belong?
Right. Right.
So we started, we had a business foundations course, but we built a follow-up. So we built a second course in the spring semester, where now they get a deep dive into professional training. They do an Excel certification. So they actually earn, they can take an exam and earn a credential in Excel.
Oh, nice.
They
okay.
do a lot of teamwork coordination. They learn more about themselves and they start becoming a part of the Billiken business community.
I love it. Oh, how cool. You guys are doing amazing things. Well, tell people how they can learn more about you, how they can learn more about Chaffetz School of Business. Where is everything?
Everything is on our website,
slu.edu/Chaffetz.
Look us up. Drop me a note.
You're on LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn, Bornali Gupta. Love to hear from you. Lots of cool stuff going on, and we look forward to hanging out with some of you.
So I have some fun questions for
okay.
you.
Okay.
This one is, I just want to know, is there like this little tiny bit of wisdom that you share with all of the students or with just the young adults of today? If you had this one little bit of wisdom to share with them, what would it be?
That's an awesome responsibility. I've thought about this. And I share my own personal mantra, Mish, which is, to lead fearlessly.
Yes. And fearless is hard to do, But when you get to that place where you can just take out the blocks, right, and be fearless about moving forward, yes, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have what you think is a failure, but as long as you've learned from it, it isn't. It's there's going to be challenges, but it's just I call it get out of your comfort zone. Yeah. That's where all the cool stuff happens. Is out of your comfort zone.
That's right. Don't be afraid of failure.
Yeah, don't. I mean, be afraid of it if you keep failing the same thing over and over again. Then what? Why aren't you learning from this failure? But really, a failure is just a lesson to get you to up to the next level. That's it.
Lead fearlessly. I learned this from my father. He lived it that way. So many stories. I didn't know how to swim. I said, I want to learn how to swim. He said, cool, I'll take you to the club. I have a membership. Go learn. He didn't hold my hand through it. He dropped me off in the morning. I grew up in Bombay. So he took me to the club. He dropped me off. He was busy. He had work to do. He'd pick me up after a couple of hours. I learned how to swim.
That's awesome. Right?
So many, many examples of that.
Right.
But through that, I learned that living and leading fearlessly.
It's the way to be.
Is the way to be.
I love it. What is like an essential part of your daily routine? Like, I have to do this every day.
That's, oh my gosh, the older I get, that list gets longer.
I am too busy for an essential. I'm too busy.
I love people. I'm a people person. Mm-hmm. However, my days are meeting. So it's a lot of people. I need a little bit of quiet time.
Yep.
Every day.
I agree.
And I will.
So important.
I will tell everybody, no matter what time of day, if it's first thing in the morning, last thing at night, over lunch, grab some time for yourself. I make some time for me every day. And I do different things with it. I might finish a book that I've been trying to finish. I might start a book that I've been wanting to start.
Right.
I might go buy a book. You see the theme, book.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I might download a book that I want to read. So, or I might go for a walk, or I just sit quietly, or I read, a news article I've been wanting. It doesn't matter what you do. It's me time.
It's so important. If you have to always be on for others at a certain point, it's exhausting, And I believe in me time big time.
Yeah.
I am a me time person as well.
Yeah.
It's an important part of everything. For me, it's recharging.
Yeah. And schedule it in your calendar. If you have to put it on your calendar and call it whatever you like, it's your me time.
I was at a retreat not too long ago, and I was talking about how I need 3 hours every morning. And one of the guys, and I was like, I need 3 hours in the morning. I get up and exercise, and then I meditate, I take a bath. I was like, I need my 3 hours before I feel like I can be out in the day. And afterwards, he's like, I'm so glad you said that, because I always thought, that seems sort of excessive. He's like, I need 3 hours. I'm like, if you need 3 hours to show up to be your best self every day, you need the 3 hours. Yeah. I mean, I wake up really early. Wake up at like 5 or 5:30 in the morning, but I also go to bed early so that I can get my, 7-8 hours a night. But that's what I need in the morning for me to show up well for the day.
Yep. And that's so important, right? You think about the oxygen mask. Metaphor.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. And to be your best self, do what you need to do.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. So I always have super kind people on this podcast because kindness is my thing. And it's obviously one of your things. But just tell us something, kindness you received, you witnessed, you've given, just a top of mind kindness.
I will never forget the kindness I received from so many members of the SLU Chaffetz community. Alumni, students, faculty, staff, during a time when we couldn't be with each other. Mm-hmm. There were emails, there were notes, there were messages, there were things sent to my home welcoming me to this community.
Aww.
And it's not those little acts of kindness showed me that I'd made the right decision.
Good.
During a time when the world was slightly off.
It was a little off kilter, a little
kilter,
weird.
Right.
Things were strange.
Right.
That's good. So it made you feel a part of the community,
yes,
even though you weren't really with the community in person.
That's right. That's right.
I love it.
So those acts of kindness continue today. It just wasn't then. So when we say that we are a community,
mm-hmm,
and what that means, it's the people and how they treat one another. That I saw as an outsider coming in action. And so that meant a lot. And you are in that group, Mish. When you and I met at the Be Heard conference in 2022,
mm-hmm,
right? I still remember, it didn't feel like we'd never met before.
Oh, I know. I felt like I knew. And, you know, and Trisha Bagsby, who we love.
Yes.
You know, every time Trisha, I was like, I can't wait to meet this woman. I feel like I already met her in some way, but I can't wait to meet her. And it was like we were fast friends. It was awesome.
Yes.
I loved it.
And
I'm crazy honored that I get to be a part of Be Heard.
I'm so crazy honored that you have been, and I believe in this conference, just growing.
Yes, it is going to grow. It's already grown.
And making
after
impact.
Just 1 year.
Right.
Yeah. And afterwards, I can just, it's all the feels. I get all the people that are, you know, oh my gosh, that conference was great. That was amazing. I'm so glad I went. I mean, yeah, it's worth the time of the people that get to plan it and make it all happen, and it's worth the time of the people that come.
That's right, and I'm super excited to see where we go with it next year, the third time.
I know, third time is just, it's, they've all been a charm.
Exactly,
it's going to be a bigger charm.
Exactly, it'll be, you know, worth, like you said, worth it for everyone that shows up and participates.
I love it. Nolly, thank you for, I'm so glad I finally got to get you on the podcast. I know you're crazy busy, so thank you for being here.
This was a perfect time. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for inviting me, and all the best, Mish.
Yeah, same to you, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And everybody out there, be kind, be loving, and if you're looking to get some more education, you know who to call. Thank you.
Thank you.